Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. They say that John the Baptist had a plan. He sent those two followers to our Lord so they could see for themselves. Blind people seeing and deaf people hearing and the lame walking. And then having seen, why, they would go back and they would report to the rest of the group. And his hope was that their natural loyalty to their leader, last of the prophets, would transfer over to our Lord, and that they would become his followers, the followers of the Lamb. After all, John was the first to point him out, now that John would go first to be slaughtered. We like to see for ourselves. That's human nature. Seeing is believing, we say. Or stubborn, sometimes. With Thomas, we exclaim, unless I see, unless I touch the place of the nails, I will not believe. Now, when it comes to seeing, to working out the foundation of our faith, that there must be a God, we're all those children, toddlers of that age, who cry out, no, let me do it. They want to dress themselves and tie their own shoes. And God is the indulgent Father. He lets us. Nor is this all. We're the blind who see today, catching a glimpse of God, the eternal, the essential, the omnipotent, the only necessary or non-contingent being, the theologians say. We can figure it out by reason, but it's a little sloppy, like a two-year-old tying his own shoes. But if you really want to see, to understand some, to leave spiritual blindness behind, you must believe. So with St. Augustine, St. Anselm, we say, credo ut intelligam, I believe so that I may understand. So what do we know? What do we believe about God? Let's see. The blind see. There's hope for me. Now, the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Perhaps this is why our world experiences right now such creeping anxiety, and we're wondering, are we next? So there's little place for peace or for joy. Anxiety, yes. The rule of the day, but remember that other rule, atrocity and decadence. Disbelief, they travel together. And today, there is so very little believing left. So what do we believe? Review, what is it to believe? To hold something as true. Today, we're believing in God. That firm conviction of his existence, and that he is the source of revealed truth. But the certainty of faith, that is ours, because it is grounded in God's truthfulness. So, I believe in God. And who is God? The supreme being or spirit who alone exists of himself and is infinite in all of his perfections. This is the great question that puzzled the ancients, and reason can give some answer to it, but God alone can make himself truly known. He did at the very beginning, you know, but sin led men to forgetfulness of him and to idolatry. And today, many religious people entertain the most outlandish notions about God. Jews say, who say that you can hate God and resent him. Or Muslims, that there could never be an incarnation of God in our midst, and that reason has no place at all in religion, and yours it is to submit or get your head chopped off. Or Mormons, who would be hard put to tell you who God is because they have so many of them and they're on the way to becoming gods themselves. Now, that same kind of darkness and ignorance throughout the ages, trace it to passion, trace it to sin. So you need a strong doctrine about God. So in the Catechism we say, he is the supreme being, not a. We use the definite article here because there's only one. This being is a spirit, meaning he is immaterial. He has no body, which would limit him then in some way. He is pure and simple, intellectual, but also personal. He's the supreme spirit. He's above all and unlimited, and he is alone. Only God has no principle for or cause for his existence. Everyone else depends on God and God on no one. He exists of himself. We call that the quality of aseity, Latin a se, by himself. The world could get along okay without you, and without you, without me, but there would be nothing without God. He is infinite in all of his perfections. You have a certain ability, you might have some talents, you might have a little knowledge, it's some virtues, but Almighty God's omnipotence, his eternity, think of it, having no beginning and will have no end, his justice and his sanctity and his mercy and his omniscience, knowing all things, all of these are perfections without limitations. Well, how do we know about God? We know about God through reason, we're saying, as well as through revelation, sacred scripture, and tradition. And so Almighty God already in the Old Testament gives the philosophical definition of God. I am who am. And then in Samaria, he tells the woman at the well very simply, God is a spirit. St. Paul says that the invisible things of him are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Tradition tells us the same truth, the fathers of the church, the true council of the Vatican in the 19th century says that if anyone asserts that God cannot be known from created things by the natural light of human reason, let him be anathema. There's nothing like a good anathema from time to time to clear the air. So we believe that we can know God by reason. And the most reasonable of propositions is this, though you'll meet people who will deny it today, there's no effect without a cause. If I go to the store and I put 3 cans of peas in the bag, and I close the bag, and I keep the bag with me the whole time, and when I get home, I open it up. How many cans do you think I'm going to find there? Well, there won't be 2, nor will there be 4. There'll be 3. In the same spirit, there's a classic proof for God's existence from morality or law. If there's a law, why, there's got to be a lawgiver who put it there. Everybody has a natural knowledge of right and wrong. Now, it doesn't come from family, and it doesn't come from society, and it doesn't come from most schools. not today. If it's there, it's got to come from somewhere, from God. So take a boy today who is, say, an only child, and he gets whatever he wants, of course, because he's a trophy child and that's how it works, and no one has ever told him anything but that he's just the best thing since sliced bread, and no one has ever told him anything about God or commandments or sin, nothing at all. One day, he steals something at the house. And he hides it. He hides it because he knows it was wrong. And then his father says to him, son, did you take that? And he says, no, I didn't. Second sin. What does he lie? He knows he did something wrong. Where did he get that sense of morality? From God, the lawgiver. We are born with it. Second proof is similar thereto. It's a proof of order. The wondrous order of the universe, those magnificent ice crystals you saw everywhere if you were up and out this morning, or an ant, or a spider web, a cell, a man. When men see, say, a rocket, they subscribe its success or its failure, in the case of North Koreans, who never managed to get one up too far. They say, well, that's because of the people that made it. Well, of course, because there's no effect without a cause. But when people see an ant, which is far more complicated in its construction than a rocket, how can they ascribe the ant, a cell, man, the universe, to nothing, to chance? In a word, how can the effect be greater than the cause? Here comes the story. You've probably heard this about that Jesuit astronomer, Father Athanasius Kirchner. I believe he lived in the 18th century in Germany during the Enlightenment, so-called. And one day, for his office in the university, he commissioned a small globe which sat on his desk, and a colleague of his, an atheist professor, came in to see him, and seeing the new object, he says, well, that's a nice globe, Father. Where did you get that from? Nowhere, he says. Well, nowhere. Who made it for you? Nobody made it. It just made itself. Now, atheists and freethinkers are particularly dull, so the priest had to explain the joke to him, and he laughed, and he said, well, look, you're willing to accept that this whole great world of ours is made by no one, that it made itself? For far more reason, a little tiny, tiny globe sitting on my desk could have made itself. Nothing comes from nothing. The effect can never be greater than the cause. And alas, that is why evolution is nonsense. We could add to these points another based on the principle of universal consent. It's a mark of truth. Anywhere you go in the whole world and throughout all of human history, people always had some sort of a god, or a series of gods and stories about their gods and worship and observances concerning their gods. Even the most ignorant and degraded peoples had their gods. This belief in God is an inward conviction inborn in us. And that is why, with the greatest of ease, anyone who puts himself to think about it could figure it out. There must be a God. Only the fool says in his heart, there is no God, David wrote in the Psalms. Agnostics don't exactly say there is no God, but they say you can't know if there's a God or not or anything about him. It's not the realm of facts, that's for sure. Atheists will tell you there is no God. They deny God's existence. Very active today. Very often, they're atheists because of pride or because of some sin or vice. St. Augustine said a long time ago, those who do not believe in God have some reason for wishing God did not exist. but very often even atheists in a crisis will turn to God. What's a deist? You should know about deists, because many of the founding fathers were deists, and that's part of the problem. They admit that there is a God, but they say we can't turn to him. He's not a personal God. There's no providence, and there's no revelation. This is the era of the Enlightenment. This is one of the contributions of Freemasonry. Then finally, today as yesterday, there are materialists and pantheists and New Agers. They make a god out of nature, and so climate control becomes a kind of a cult. Or your god and I'm god, we all sort of little bits or little pieces of God. That's the idea. Divinity is everywhere. But we arrive at the right knowledge of God, not just through reason, but finally through faith. And faith is for us an impregnable tower. It is a strong place, a place of refuge and of defense, but yet at the same time, as it soars above earth, we're allowed to have a different view of things, far different from that of the poor people on the sidewalk below. The higher the tower, though, remember, the deeper must be dug its foundation. Our foundation for the tower of faith is reason. Reason which starts things, but faith which exceeds just human reason, soaring all the way up to the skies, to heaven, by revelation. Believing in God. That's what's gone missing, along with peace and joy and hope for ISIS or U.S. Bomb out ISIS. Probably would be a good idea for them actually to do that. Confiscate all of the guns in the U.S. There are some who dream of doing that. But I tell you this, you'd still have the problem. But if we let the God of hope fill us with all joy and peace and believing, then you'd see for yourself. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.